Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. This is episode 256. We're going to talk about E3 stuff today. E3's coming. Oh, gosh.
Ride the E3 train, everyone.
I think most people are getting there via airports.
Choo-choo.
Okay.
Yep.
Rocket?
Yeah.
I will run there if I have to.
Yeah. If there's a new choo-choo rocket at E3, that'd be pretty good.
Megaton.
Yeah. All right. I am Graham, and this week we have a pretty large panel here because we're all pretty excited about next week's show. Andrew.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going all right. I've been playing a lot of Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm killing everyone. I'm sorry, but they're all dying.
You should stop killing people now.
I'm trying, but sometimes, you know.
Who did you lose?
I have a list. Do you want me to go down the list?
I want to hear that someone is worse than me, so yes.
Well, let's see. We got Kellum, Maribel, Cordelia. Gregor just died, I believe. Virion.
Good evening.
What?
She's there dropping like flies.
Yeah, I'm losing a lot of people. Well, but I'm getting better somewhat.
Do you still have Donald?
Yes, but I never use him.
Well, there's your problem. He saves everyone else's butt.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, that's me.
We could talk about Fire Emblem for another 3 hours, but that's probably not the best idea. Okay.
Save that for the Fire Emblem podcast.
That sounds like a great idea.
Actually, it sounds like it's kind of the best idea, but it's not what we're doing. Also, this week, Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, you know how it's going.
I do.
Yeah, Sean and I will be on the ground in LA next week. And we're not ready because you can't be ready.
Yeah, I'm already behind on sleep.
Yeah. yeah, fun stuff. Jeff is joining us this week. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, everyone.
Hi, Jeff.
And Lucas is back with us this week. How's it going, Lucas?
Could be better. Could be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And Chris Dominowski. Hey.
I'm Chris Dominowski, and I approve this message.
Okay. Is this your favorite store in the Citadel?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, it is.
Okay. And our newest member of the Snack Bar team is joining us this week, Aaron. Hey.
Hey. What's up?
Not bad. Recording a podcast, you know. It's the same.
I think you threw Graham through a loop with that question.
People, after last week, I should be prepared for people asking me questions, but I'm just not there yet. Oh
yeah.
Man, what? Okay.
What if you get into it? Like, what if you have an interview with someone at E3 and then they start asking you the questions? What will happen?
Well, what questions are they going to ask me? Is
I don't
about
know.
Their game? I don't know about
maybe
their game.
They'll find biggest,
the last thing, what are you even doing here?
If I just get to go on the record with their release windows and what platforms they're coming out on.
Yeah, there you go.
I think I could probably just make that up.
You'll just say every game's coming out in the Neo Geo Pocket Color.
And the Ouya. It'll be a cross-platform.
Fine.
Okay.
With
that. Yeah. Okay.
All right. But yeah. You know what? Let's just get to it. Hey, John.
Yes?
What time is it?
It is news time.
Yep.
And you know what? We don't have very much this week because no one is talking.
Okay.
Because everyone, I guess, wants to save something for some event next week, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
So, first we have, let's go ahead and talk about Sonic Lost World. We got to see a trailer for it, and apparently people liked it.
Or didn't like it. I think we have some mixed opinions on the panel today.
It is a Sonic game, after all.
Yeah, it sounds like you're describing a Sonic game.
Yeah. So, there's been a lot of comparisons made to Super Mario Galaxy, which I think worlds rotate and it's on Nintendo platforms. So that part's, I guess, like Super Mario Galaxy. But to me, it reminds me most of the logical progression from, like, old Genesis Sonic, like the tube levels, like the bonus levels with the coins where you just run around to the left and right, but you're always running forward. Mm-hmm. That seems like what this is.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one's brought up Sonic Extreme again. I mean,
well, it didn't release, no one knows. So.
Yeah, it didn't release, but still, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's kind of a hybrid model like that. And I think there's been some of that they tried kind of with, like, Secret Rings, where they're just like, you're just going to keep running forward. It's okay, just go. It's like a rail platformer.
We don't talk about Secret Rings.
Okay.
that is just horrible.
That wasn't horrible. I don't.
It was.
No, it was really.
Take that line out of context.
Sort of
it is.
Liked it. Kind I mean, of. If you, a little bit.
If you put the best to worst Sonic games, it's not on the worst side. It's not on the best side, but it's. It's better than Sonic the Black Knight and.
It's
Sonic
in the
Unleashed because... and Sonic 2006. And
it is not better than Sonic Unleashed.
Did anyone actually play Sonic and the Black Knight?
Yeah.
So I remember hearing it existed. And
yeah. Well, it added in a sword, which wasn't necessary, and it made you slow and had armor, like a Sonic game.
All okay. The best Sonic games.
But yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I love Sonic Labyrinth.
Okay. All right. But
I'm
yeah.
just disappointed this game doesn't have dinosaurs. That's all I'll say.
Yet.
Oh,
yeah. Oh. So more Sonic games need more ninjas, dinosaurs, and swords. That's what they need. That is what will resurrect the franchise.
We just need one ninja dinosaur with a sword.
What they need is another pinball game.
It doesn't have dinosaurs, but it does have the bad guys from Space Jam.
You're right.
Sword of Monstar reminiscent. Yeah.
So this is a Sonic basketball game, is what you're saying.
So
the trailer
that'd be
was
good.
Misleading.
That's the third
it's
one.
Pretty
that's
obvious.
The Sonic game is the Sonic.
Every game needs
Monstars
a little bit of Space
basketball.
Jam.
Yes, yeah? every game does need a little bit of Space Jam.
Yeah.
Yep.
How can you follow that? Of course, Space Jam.
I guess we're ending the podcast.
Let's keep moving on, Sean. Hang in there.
All right. Next, we have Tales of Symphonia HD for the PS3. It's going to include the GameCube or the PS2 version of Symphonia and the sequel Dawn of the New World, I believe.
Yep.
And so now I am selling my GameCube version if anyone wants it.
Which I think you'll be able to get a nice price for it.
That's what I found out.
Yep.
Do we know if it's being localized?
We were told it's coming over next year.
Cool.
Yep. I mean,
PS3.
Probably not a crazy amount of expense, given that both the games are already localized, so there's not any of that work there. And so.
Well, the PS2 version isn't localized. Actually, that may be a bit of a problem, because I'm pretty sure Nintendo was actually the one who localized the game for North America, so they would have to do an entirely new localization to get it released here.
Well, it was an Amco production, so I don't think that's the issue. I know there was some. I think most of that Namco Nintendo collaboration was over Baten Kaitos. I think that was just a maybe goodwill gesture back and forth kind of thing with Symphonia. But yeah, so because this is only releasing on the PS3, that kind of blows my theory. Not completely out of the water, but. With Namco Bandai co-developing Smash Brothers, I thought maybe Lloyd might be a guest character.
Oh, I wish.
Japan loves that guy, and he's got spiky hair and a sword, so he'll fit in just fine.
All Tales games eventually go back to Sony platforms, so I am not surprised one bit.
Well, I mean, sometimes they come back to Nintendo platforms. Tales,
but they always... Okay.
That was game.
That's a fair
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a game that existed.
It still does exist. I think.
It does?
I think it does.
I have no idea.
It's not probably like it's not like Divx. It doesn't like go bad. It's still there.
That's true.
Anyway, enough about that. Let's keep going.
All right, the last news we were able to scrounge up that was worth mentioning is Double Fine has a new Kickstarter. It's a game called Massive Chalice, which I know Graham and I are ridiculously excited about.
Yep.
Ridiculously excited? Wow.
Ridiculously.
That's a lot of excitement.
It is. I wouldn't say I'm ridiculously excited. I'm cautiously optimistic about developed by a small team that won't release for another year and a half.
That is much different than ridiculously excited.
I'll be ridiculously excited when it's a product.
Well, it's ridiculous to me that that's all he's excited about. So that's the level he's excited.
I'm a little concerned that they still haven't released Broken Age yet, and they're still announcing a new Kickstarter.
Well, I mean, again, it's a different team. I don't think that's PR speak. I mean, it's very clear. You know, since Brutal Legend, it was very, you know, Double Fine's just like, no, we're not going to work on one project at a time. So, you know, there are people who worked on The Cave who were done. There are people who worked on, I think Drop Chord's done. It's just not releasing until that weird PC accessory comes out. So there are people who needed to start working on something. And, you know, just because the Broken Age team, which I think they're pretty close to being done.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much testing now.
Yeah, so... You know, I bet they'll do something soon too. But you know, this is the core Iron Brigade team, or I should say the Trench team, because probably not a lot of people worked on Iron Brigade.
No. Maybe like two guys.
That one guy to change the logo.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other guy who came up with the name Iron Brigade.
Yep. Yep.
And then the janitor worked on something or other.
Okay. He probably worked on just general sanitation, cleanliness, right?
He's part of every team.
Okay. All right. But so Massive Chalice is a fantasy tactical role-playing game that's single player and seems to combine... To me, it seems like it combines XCOM Enemy Unknown with Fire Emblem 4. That, I think, is... The most apt description I can come up with, even though, you know, basically no one played Fire Emblem 4 because it was never released in English.
They also mentioned in the video Final Fantasy Tactics. So
sure. I mean...
Maybe a dash of that.
It's a tactics game, and not many people... Like, mentioning XCOM and Final Fantasy Tactics is the way of mentioning the two games that sold really well in the genre, so...
Yeah, that's
half their marketing plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I got a lot of... Crusader Kings vibes. Yeah, from
I was gonna say that too. But
Crusader Kings isn't like a household name,
right? And there's a lot of, I mean, so what it kind of borrows from Crusader Kings is this progression through generations. But I think it probably is going to end up working a lot like the generational split in Fire Emblem 4. And Awakening actually brings in a little bit of that, where like generations inherit things from previous generation. But, you know, there's this thing about, I do wonder, they talk about, like, take your warriors off to procreate. I'm wondering if, like, you do get to match up people or if it's just, like, one line. I don't know how that's going to be handled. But it does seem interesting. And that's a thing that's on Kickstarter.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Should we move on?
We should. I think people have been playing lots of games lately.
Yeah. And so... Chris Dominowski's going to help us moderate this next segment, so we'll start with you, Chris. What have you been playing?
All right, I have been playing a lot of Reyes lately. That's a new strategy game that's out on PC.
Yeah, so it's a like god game kind of game.
Actually, yeah, that's the best way to describe it. Actually, the best way I can describe it would probably be like the opposite of Civilization, because instead of it is. Like your standard 4X strategy game, in just like its most basic mechanics, but instead of controlling like individual units of your civilization or your world, you actually control these four giants that can shape the world, and You shape the world and make things about it to get the people to do what you want.
Hmm.
So you don't actually control the people building cities or villages or anything. You just build the world around them to get them to do what you want.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, and I've been really enjoying it. It's one of the freshest takes on the strategy genre I've seen in ages. And cool. It's probably the one of the most novel parts of the game is when it makes you do something you really don't want to do. Like, let's say one of the villages starts getting a little too greedy because you've been building them up too fast. Sometimes you have to use one of your giants to just destroy the whole village just because they've been getting too evil.
You can't this really actually, does sound like a god game.
It really is.
Like Old Testament type of stuff.
And yes, smiting them is as fun as it sounds.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to hurt people. So I don't think I'd find that fun.
Not in a video game either?
Nope.
Not even in a video game.
I don't know why making it in a video game would make me want to hurt people.
Have you guys not heard his mantra when he plays games?
Angry Kirby?
No, don't do bad things or something similar to that, I believe. Don't
sure.
Be mean.
I mean, that's wow. This is kind of a general life tip.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, don't be a bad guy.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're playing Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, in which case, yeah, I don't know. You know, Wreck-It Ralph is a perfectly acceptable character selection.
Okay.
Even if they got the voice wrong.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Andrew, it sounds like you've got a lot on your plate this week, so how about you tell us what you've been playing?
All right, well, I guess I'll start with Resident Evil Revelations. I just call it HD. This is the console version of last year's 3DS game. It's out on basically everything except basically everything.
Not
Vita. Oh, that's right. Well,
yeah,
it's out on basically every console and PC.
Yeah.
and I played the Wii U version, which is probably the closest. Close as it comes to the like the best comparison between the 3DS and the and this version because of the second screen. So basically,
is it the same way, do you know, or is it just kind of modified where they this multi-platform engine and then tacked on the controls?
Well, there are a couple of things that like a couple of little mini games that are included from the 3DS version that are touchscreen.
Ah.
But there are a couple they just completely removed for no apparent reason. I'm not complaining because that those things kind of sucked, but it basically seemed pretty similar to the way the 3DS version worked, as in you had the map on the bottom of the screen. I don't remember exactly if all of the different options you had on the bottom of the screen were the same, but it's essentially you know the closest you'll come to the 3DS version on a console. So this is another Resident Evil game, third person action shooter with horror elements. It's not really a horror game or even a horror series anymore, but probably the closest the series has come since RE4 of being kind of more grounded in its horror roots, and the fact that they're, you know, the entire game kind of takes place in mostly one area. It takes place on this giant cruise ship. There aren't hundreds of enemies you need to deal with, just like a small handful of enemies, and it's all close quarters. You can move and shoot, which I think since this came out before RE6, this was the first game in the series that let you do that. And it's you don't have to, obviously. You can choose to still stand and shoot if you want to play that way, but it'll definitely come in handy because there will be situations where enemies will appear out of nowhere. Some of them are pretty much. Like similar to RE4, RE5, and probably RE6 enemies in terms of their speed and their attacks and whatnot.
So, Andrew, you're saying that it does feature standing still.
Yes, you can stand still. Yes, this is a back of the box feature, actually.
Okay.
You can still stand and shoot.
It's not like an auto scrolling Resident Evil game.
I would play that though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this
Resident Evil shmup.
Resident Evil set entirely on a roller coaster.
Please.
We have the Umbrella Chronicles games.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, yeah. kind of the same thing. Yeah, I mean, this to me, I loved Resident Evil 4, wasn't a big fan of 5, still haven't played 6. But this, to me, felt like the first really good Resident Evil game in a while. I loved, the story is nonsensical. That's, you know, it's Resident Evil. Yeah. they don't reveal anything. Like, I kind of feel like this, if you never play this game and you continue to play the series, you won't be missing anything. Like, it's a side story that, like, very, just barely connects to the main games, and it's just weird why they called it Revelations. I've come to the realization that if you call your game Revelations, they're not actually going to reveal anything to you. So there you go. But it's a lot of fun. There's something called the Raid mode, which is kind of similar to Mercenaries, which has been in the past few Resident Evil games, but it's more objective based, and they're, you know, they kind of modify the enemies. Like, some will be gigantic and take more hits. Some will be smaller but move faster. So yeah, it is pretty great.
Cool.
So, quick question: would you say that the presentation has been upgraded enough since the 3DS game to warrant another purchase, or is this just going to be more of the same for people who already own the original?
Yeah, I can't say I would recommend it to anyone who's already played the original, unless you really want to play it on a console, because on the 3DS, playing it with one analog stick was kind of annoying. But if you had that dumb little second analog stick attachment to the 3DS, yeah, that thing. you could pretty much play it exactly like you play it on a console. So that if you've played it that way, you're not really missing that much, except it looks nicer. But it's if you've never played this game, I would and you consider yourself a fan of the series, I would highly recommend it. It looks really nice in HD. So.
Cool.
That's that. And I guess the other game I'm playing is Fuse, which is Insomniac's four player co-op shooter with super awesome weapons and whatnot. Basically an Insomniac game.
It has cool weapons?
Yes, it has very cool weapons.
Can you fuse them?
Well, yes, kind of. You can fuse. Let me explain. Let's just say, I guess I'll just jump right into it. It's a four player shooter, so you can have up to yourself and three other people playing at the same time co-op. And as you're, let's say each character has their own unique weapon, and as you're shooting one weapon and another weapon at the same group of enemies, they will kind of interact and create like special effects that'll like either double damage or just, you know, do cool things that kind of give you an idea of which characters you want to like group together and attack specific enemies, so you get specific effects. So, for example, my favorite character is a character named Jacob. He has a crossbow, which is effectively a sniper. And when you shoot enemies, it kind of ignites them. And if you have another character, like, for example, Naya, who has this gun that kind of shoots black holes, you can shoot that as Jacob is shooting his fire crossbow bullets, and they will combine, and it'll suck all enemies together.
They'll combine? You're saying they will fuse?
Yes. Okay. You can fuse them.
Okay.
In case you didn't, is that what you were getting at?
Sure.
All right.
We're just trying to figure out where the fuse comes in.
Well, the actual alien technology is called fuse. So that's it's barely mentioned in the game. But anyway, so basically it'll suck all the enemies together, and then it'll explode fire everywhere, and it'll there's cool effects like that, and the combining the different effects. You know, the different weaponry, that is generally pretty awesome. And especially if you're playing this solo, you're probably not going to get a lot of that, because the AI, while it isn't bad, it doesn't rely super heavily on the weapons as much as you think they would.
Yeah, so we can safely say, if you want a single-player shooter, this is not it. Do not get it.
Yes, do not get this game if you're planning to play solo, because you won't have much fun. It's
decent enough if you want to, say, play it a little bit to get... You get a little further in the story, or get more comfortable with the controls before you play with other people. But it's just you shouldn't come in with that agenda.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not the best that the game can do. Because the AI is helpful at times, but not they don't combine the weapon. They don't really combine the weapon effects the same way you can with other people. Mm. But what is cool, I would actually recommend playing with less than four players. I think that's kind of the sweet spot, because There you can – if you have, let's say, only three players, there's an available character. And at any time, you can swap between characters. So it'll give everyone a chance to kind of try out different characters without – like if you're playing just four players, you would have to back out of the game entirely and switch characters in the menu to, you know, to kind of switch. So I guess you can – you know, four players is a lot of fun, but – The most fun I had with this game was actually playing with three people and just kind of, you know, switching characters every so often and trying out all the different combinations. But I mean, take away those weapons and unfortunately the game is like there are standard weapons in the game. There are your machine guns, your shotguns, your snipers, your pistols, whatnot. But those weapons, they're fine, but they're not like at this point of the generation, it's just kind of another standard third person shooter. Take away those really unique weapons. So that's what kind of bums me out because Insomniac is a really creative team and they can do more than just awesome weapons. But that's pretty much what this game is. Awesome weapons and a pretty fun co-op. Experience, but I mean, I can't recommend this at full price unless you have three other people or two or three other people you're planning on playing it with. But it is definitely a fun game if you can look past that kind of genericness to it, I guess. But yeah, that's Fuse. Fun, but you know, not a little disappointing. Yep.
Okie doke.
All right. Moving on. Sounds like Jeff, you've been playing a little bit of Skyward Collapse.
Yep, it's actually another god game strategy.
Never have too many god games.
I sense a theme.
Wait, neither of your games were god games or anywhere close.
Well, if
mine was.
If you picture yourself playing as a god controlling these characters,
then every game is a god game.
Yes, every game is a god game.
Okay. Okay, so Jeff, tell us about Skyward Collapse.
Well, it works kind of like a turn-based tactical game.
Okay.
Except with one difference, you control both sides.
What?
So the whole idea is to keep both sides fighting, basically forever. By never letting them always using like your godly powers to intervene before one side gets the upper hand.
Huh.
Sounds intriguing, actually.
Yeah.
So like you can give them mythological units most of them are derived from like Greek or Norse mythology, things like that, and a lot of times, like, you'll be able to remove land tiles. And you'll be able to remove land tiles and add mountains and things like that. And you also sort of manage the resources of both sides.
So this game is more about, this game is more about strategy in terms of trying to balance the two sides, not so much making sure one side wins over the other.
Yeah, pretty much have to try and build both sides up at the same pace.
So what's the narrative justification for why you have to keep these two fighting?
It's not entirely clear, but I'm pretty sure it's just sort of related to having more people to worship you as a god.
Ah. So super selfish.
Yeah. Pretty much. You're pretty much just toying with both sides for your own amusement.
This sounds like a plot from like a few different JRPGs. Where like one side's always fighting against the other, but then you get to the end and like after you beat the other side you find out that you were supposed to keep fighting every time and like there was some larger force trying to keep everyone fighting for their greater good, but it was really kind of nefarious. I've played that game, right? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, everyone's played that game.
Wait, that's Tales of Symphonia, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Everything goes back to Tales of Symphonia.
It does.
As it should.
Maybe. I'm not sure it should go back to the narrative of Tales of Symphonia.
Yeah.
Pretty decent battle system that game, but man, okay. But yeah, anything else?
I'm curious as to like the actual victory conditions for this game. Do you just keep going and going, or Is there like an actual end goal?
Yeah, you have sort of an end goal for each map, which is
okay.
Can be different, but usually to keep it going for a certain amount of time, or like, and I'm pretty sure you can play like an endless mode as well.
And at that point, it's just how long can
you keep going? Just how long can you keep this up?
Yeah, interesting. Lucas, you've been playing Class of Heroes 2, that long in progress port of the PSP game from Monkey Paw and Gaijin Works.
Yeah, it's got a pretty wacky story behind it, I'd say.
Behind development or the game itself?
The publication, I guess, or localization. Yeah. Failed Kickstarter and all that.
Yeah, so I mean, we talked about that at the time, but even still, it's released this week on PSN, and whenever they get the UMDs manufactured, they will release that way too. Yeah. But tell us about it.
All right, so it's a first-person, I guess, wizardry-esque dungeon crawler with an anime coat of paint.
So it's, I mean, at this point, wizardry also has an anime coat of paint. But
oh god, you're right.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's set in a school because at some point someone made Persona, and then from then on, every JRPG that ever came out is set in a school.
Oh, I get it. Class of Hero.
Instead of being adventurers, you're learning to be an adventurer or something.
Learning by doing, though, because you're just the same thing. Okay.
Basically, you're bad and you're trying to be good. So it's pretty standard, I guess. It doesn't have a lot of the kind of weirdness that something like Atrian Odyssey would have.
So it doesn't have like a hook like that, like you have to draw your own map.
Yeah, like your map is auto-generated, and there's your party. I mean, sorry, classes are pretty standard.
Yeah, is there anything related to the school setting that changes the gameplay any?
Not really. The school is just basically the hub.
Okay.
Where you have like your resting and your party building and stuff.
Quest justification device.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What I think is cool about the game is that while the classes are pretty standard, you have a lot of interesting and weird races to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the standard stuff, or if you have a race that's kind of been around for a while, there's something new about it. For example, dwarves are like little short cat people.
What?
Yeah, you have like.
I was weird. Following this until the word cat.
Yeah. And it's weird because you have like normal cat people and they're called something else, but then like the short ones are called dwarves for some reason.
Okay. Okay.
But you have weird stuff. That's so you have like,
go with it.
I mean, they all have their different stat bonuses and they have like certain restrictions and things like that.
Is there anything about the dwarves that are different because they are cats? Like thematically and mechanically.
So.
No, they just look like cats, just like the artist cat board.
Just, like throw a ball with your special attack or anything.
Oh man,
yeah, it's pretty standard.
More JRPGs should have actual real life items as weaponry.
That was pretty sweet.
Not enough of those. But anyway, how is the localization? Because
it's
Vic Ireland has been in the business a while, and he knows what to do. But also, he has this reputation for taking a bit of creative license at times.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton of text in the game.
Okay,
you kind of have like some justification to be doing what you're doing. That's about it. But there's a lot of kind of silly flavor text, especially in battles and stuff.
Yeah, like that's Vic Ireland, all right.
Yeah. Like when in a situation when an enemy would like pass their turn, maybe you ambush them or something, it'll say something like the enemy's looking for something to do, or something a little sillier.
Yeah. Hmm.
But I want to go back to the party building for a second.
Yeah.
Because the one thing I really like about the game is that when you're picking a class, the character portrait will be different depending on your race and your gender. So like each combination of things you can pick will have a unique picture.
Okay. So but besides that, there's not like a choice of pictures. It's just that the combination of things does that. Okay.
Yeah, like in Etrian Odyssey, for example, when you pick something, you can choose from like two males and two females.
Yeah.
Whereas in this game, you have like male, female, race. And there's just like a whole bunch of different possibilities, and they're all really distinct from one another.
Hmm.
So I just thought that was a neat bit of window dressing.
Yeah.
That kind of helps you get into the game more.
So what if the game is weak? What should people be watching out for when they go into it?
It's really slow and kind of clunky, both physically with kind of the movement. You kind of jerk around a little bit. And also there's a lot of menus and a lot of things that aren't outright explained within the game itself.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
it's a wizardry clone. You kind of know what you're getting into.
Yeah, but like, you know, 2013, I'm kind of used to having a little more help along the way. But there's weird things like you don't automatically have your map. You have to buy it. But no one tells you have to buy it. So, I don't really like to buy a lot of consumable items that first off in RPGs. And
right.
So I was kind of bumbling around until I got fed up and checked out the instruction book. And, you have to buy the map. And then the map's weird because there's like you press one button to bring up a mini map, but you have to press another button to bring up your full screen map. And they both have things about them that are kind of don't work very well that the other has.
Huh.
An example being if you're on the mini map, it doesn't tell you what direction you're facing. Yeah.
That's not good.
But then when you're on the big map, it's just because I'm playing on the Vita and things are like slightly fuzzy, but it's kind of hard sometimes to tell what's a wall and what isn't.
That sounds problematic.
Are you, when you play PSP games in your Vita, are you using pixel doubling or are you using the smoothing?
Oh gosh, I think I'm using the smoothing. I haven't looked at it in a long time.
Because that's wrong.
Okay.
Just, I'm gonna go on the record. You know what? I'm usually all about moderation, but you know what? Nope. Don't do that. Right. But, I mean, well, at least with like the DS to the 3DS, it's a matter of like the thing won't fill the screen if you play it in the original aspect ratio.
Right.
Maybe that's okay for it to be like blurry, but the correct size. But with the Vita, man, I don't care if the pixels are double sized. They're really good looking double sized pixels.
Yeah. I played around with the settings a lot on like PS1 games. I just can't remember if I've done it for the PSP stuff. But
either way.
I mean, it's a perfectly functional game. The battle system is nice and fast-paced, which is kind of different for this kind of game.
Yeah.
But a lot of the logistics are just kind of funky.
Mm. All right. Ultimately, do you think people should check it out?
Maybe.
Okay.
If you don't have access to, like, Etrian Odyssey, it'd be, and you're into that kind of game, it's fine. Yeah. Or if you like the first game. But I wouldn't go out of my way.
Okay.
Unless you know you're going to like it.
Already. Still interesting that we have the opportunity to have it.
Yeah, and apparently Monkey Paul is trying to get the third one going now, so.
All right. Can we skip to, like, the modern one? That'd be great. I don't think I'm, like, 5 at this point, or, like, wasn't there a port to the PS3, or, you know.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia.
I think there is, like, 2+ or something that was a PS3. Anyway, maybe if they could get one of the ones that isn't like a 5-year-old PSP game, that might be a good way to start. I mean, if it's a good series,
the latest
one's
still on the PSP. So.
Well, yeah.
No, that's because the PSP is still relevant in Japan.
It's not so much that as the Vita's not yet relevant in Japan, so
it's cheaper.
What else can they do? Well, I mean, actually, that said, I think PSP games, like PSP game engines, would probably port pretty well to the 3DS.
Yeah.
But I imagine they wouldn't need to do too much to them. But anyway, all right, let's keep moving. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, what's up?
You have been playing a game that is recently released.
Yes. Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D.
Yeah. So tell us about it.
Well, if you played the Donkey Kong Country Returns on Wii, that's the version that is so, like, mind-numbingly hard. I'm trying to think of words to say about it that aren't profane. But
appreciate it.
It's
for sure.
It's one of those games that I hate, but I still want to play it anyway because I don't want to let it beat me. I'd like to beat it.
Yeah.
And, that same game is still present in the 3D remake. They just made made it prettier, and it has a 3D mode that doesn't really work very well for me.
Hmm.
But in addition to that, there's new mode, which they didn't really make it easier so much as they added items to help people like me who get enraged easily.
Yeah, and I believe they also added, at least the standard mode, it adds like a heart so that you have one more hit.
In standard mode, you still only have two hearts, but in new mode, you get a third. You get a third heart.
New mode.
Yes.
Okay.
Not to be confused with noob mode, as a lot of people were calling it.
People.
So you get the extra heart in new mode, and you can buy this item. It's a green balloon. So if you fall off of a platform, it lets you lift back up.
Okay.
And it is consumable, so you have to purchase it. And it goes away when you use it, but the banana coins you need to buy it with are, I don't know, at least triple the amount are available than they are in the regular mode.
Yeah, well, that part's good. I know one thing that people were complaining about with the Wii game is the whole motion-based controls, and I know they got rid of those, the 3DS version. How does that work out?
It works pretty well. You use the shoulder buttons to roll, whereas on the Wii you had to like shake the remote, and if you're trying to like roll or pound, if you're Donkey Kong, you had to shake to pound too. So if you're ever trying to push a button and do something that requires a shake, it got to be a little annoying. So they eliminated that by moving the wiggle control up to the shoulder buttons, and it works pretty well.
It's too bad they didn't make you have to shake your 3DS and have to keep 3D on, because that wouldn't be a bad idea at all.
Well, they could.
Man, they could have, and there were first generation 3DS games that I most definitely had to try to play through. A Cubic Ninja, man, don't play Cubic Ninja. It meant well, but oh man, you can't tilt.
All right,
use 3D.
I guess.
Go ahead.
I guess I'll take that one off my list.
Aaron, right. Have you noticed any kind of wonkiness with the rolling at all?
It seems to be extra sensitive. I found myself rolling at times when I didn't intend to roll.
Yeah, I've kind of found myself not rolling when I want to sometimes. It seems almost like something was lost in between moving it from waggle to buttons.
Yeah.
I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah.
Can you not quite put your finger on the shoulder button? Is that the problem?
Well, it's actually X and Y for me. I was going to ask about that too.
Oh, maybe that's what it is for me too. I haven't played it in probably a good...
Well, I mean, those buttons are slightly further away. Is that an issue?
Yeah.
I mean, if the problem is that you can't put your finger on it, then we can work with that, you know. Do you have are you using the 3DS XL? Is that the problem? Or can we get you a smaller ice?
Come on.
Okay.
I'm playing on original mode. I'm not bad at this game, I swear.
All right.
Yeah. Lucas was making fun of me for saying it was hard not too long ago.
Don't make fun of each other, guys. Stop it. It's
that thing. We go back a couple years.
All right, but let's keep moving and get to our main topic. Yes, yes,
sure,
yes,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
right. Yes,
yes, yes,
yeah. We should probably do that.
Okay, let's. Yes,
or maybe we shouldn't.
Oh no!
Sure? No, wait.
No,
no,
wait, no, no.
Yeah, we should.
Let me check my watch. Yes, E3 is next week.
Okay, well then let's do this.
All right, let's talk about E3, okay. Or rather, our possibly completely incorrect predictions about E3.
okay, so I'm sitting out.
Hey, you're wrong sometime.
This is true, but not completely wrong. Not completely incorrect.
All right, so basically this is going to be the Graham topic. He's just going to completely accurately predict everything that's going to happen in E3, so there will be no surprises.
Well, I'm just trying, you know, if I can parlay this into Michael Pachter's job and not have to fly back, then it'll be great.
You could try.
I can't see myself doing any worse.
True. Yeah, I was gonna say. I want to see Graham versus Michael Pachter. Let's make that happen.
Okay, that might result in some jail time, but we'll see what happens.
it's worth a shot. It's worth a shot. But so next week's E3. Monday is pretty much press conference day, and then Tuesday Nintendo has their Nintendo Direct, which is basically them filling in for their press conference. So we're just gonna talk about the big three, and then maybe spend a little time on third party stuff if we have the time. So I guess let's start with the first to go, which Microsoft. They have probably, if they haven't already lost a lot of people, they have the most to lose with their E3 press conference here. So I'm just gonna go around to keep this a little organized. I'm gonna go around to everyone, and you know, feel free to jump in whenever. Let's actually start with Aaron. What do you see Microsoft doing here? I mean, they say that they want to make this as much as like super game focused to kind of contradict everything they did during their reveal event for the Xbox One. So like, what do you expect to see, like, in terms of games or any other kind of announcements from Microsoft?
I should probably preface this by saying I'm a little cynical when it comes to anything Microsoft has to say.
All right.
Me both, brother.
Oh man.
I think we'll probably hear a lot about Halo.
The next game or the TV series?
Probably all of it. They'll probably be
the next comic book.
Yeah.
So you're saying they'll mention Halo. Okay.
The next book.
Yeah, they'll probably be, half of it will probably be devoted to Halo, and then the other half probably the next big, yeah, Call of Duty or EA Sports titles.
Yeah, that is very cynical.
Yeah,
actually.
a little bit cynical.
So Halo and 14 Kinect games.
Yes, it'll be Kinectimals 5 and Halo.
All right.
Wait, what happened to Kinectimals 2 through 4?
They'll be bundled with 5.
Wait a second. Wasn't Kinectimals 2
accompanying Windows Phone games?
Wasn't Kinectimals 2 Kinectimals now with bears?
No, that's more like how do I put this? That's more like a Game of the Year edition that bundles in the DLC, the bears DLC.
Right, the Kinectimals Game of the Year. I forgot.
Yeah. All right, look, so they were nice enough to not call it the Game of the Year edition, so you got to give them some credit there.
They should. That would have been amazing.
Are you saying that's better than calling it Now with Bears?
I'm saying it would have been better than Two Worlds Game of the Year edition.
How about
Two Worlds 2 Now with Bears? I'd buy that.
But were bears. It just didn't
I was
going
to say,
bears.
I can't be sure there weren't bears in that.
Let's just start adding bears to games and releasing.
Well, I mean, I think maybe we're onto something here. Maybe this is Microsoft's
plan. They also some Funyo with bears.
Maybe they're just going to come out and say, you know, Xbox One, now with bears. You know?
It'll be the year of the bears instead of the year of the bows.
Yeah, the fourth year of the bear.
5, now with bears.
Now with bears.
Year of Luigi. Year of Luigi riding a bear?
No. Sure. Look, bears is completely, it's a competing product.
Maybe, there'll be a bear suit in Super Luigi U.
I think Microsoft has the patent on bears now. So,
well, look, Banjo Kazooie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yes, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna say this, if the new game from Rare is a Banjo Kazooie game, we were all right. Just so our Microsoft predictions were all correct.
Okay.
If the new game from Rare is a Banjo Kazooie game, that will be the only thing that will get me to buy an Xbox One.
Okay.
Even if it's, what if it's like Nuts and Bolts, though?
Nuts and Bolts 2.
Yeah.
Okay, then
I don't think that game was that bad, so.
Oh, yeah, see, I didn't hate it. But
I know Justin really, 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 really likes it.
He really likes it.
And that it is his favorite game.
I still say it'll be Perfect Dark.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I made my completely accurate prediction last week about Perfect Dark 1. So
yeah, it's a sequel to Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. They've been thinking about this a long time.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess I'll just move to Lucas. I mean, they have, you know, like we were saying, they have 15 exclusives lined up for the first year, which I guess could mean launch or could just mean the actual first year of the Xbox One. I wasn't very clear about that, but what do you, are there anything that you think we might see out of those 15 games that might shock you or, you know, maybe slightly surprise you in any way?
Going back to Rare for a second, I haven't been paying a ton of attention, to be honest, but I feel like I read something about a domain name registration or a patent filing or something that involved Killer Instinct, and that might maybe be cool.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, the Killer Instinct thing like keeps coming up or has been coming up for like a few years now, and everyone's like, all right, so Rare's making a Killer Instinct game, right?
Right.
And,
so, I mean, yeah, so I guess if that happened, it'd be kind of cool.
They don't have avatars.
I'm mostly interested in Remedy.
It'll require Kinect.
Well, the Xbox One requires Kinect, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, basically, I mean, it might have avatar support, but I think the real answer here is Killer Instinct now with bears.
okay.
Yep. Just replace
Saber
all the characters.
Is now a bear.
Yeah, right. Saber bear. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Wouldn't it be just 2D Tekken at that point?
I mean, did Lucas? Are you? Am I alone here when I say I'm a huge fan of Killer Instinct? You're with me on this.
You're not alone on that.
On this podcast.
I'm saying you're not alone on this podcast.
Oh, okay.
No, you're not alone.
All right. Okay, good.
Killer Instinct when I had it on the Super Nintendo and didn't really know anything about fighting games. I don't know if I'd like it as much if I revisited it.
It's not very good. I'm just going to say that. But back in the day.
It was very silly, which is fine.
Back in the day, that game was amazing.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about Killer Instinct was, back in the day, when everybody who was playing super competitively was playing Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter. Yeah. When you said, let's play Killer Instinct, it was very clearly, let's have fun playing a game right now.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't just be like miserably beat down every time. And it would be like, hey, this is like, I may or may not win. You may or may not win. This is like, it's fun. I think
may
is what
or
they
may
call
not
it.
Get a combo breaker. I may not, may or may
it
not.
It was like the only
no,
fun
every,
game
everybody will
play,
always get a combo breaker.
Mash right, on the controller and get like double digit combos.
Yeah.
If they have a new Killer Instinct, they need to have an announcer again. That sounds as close to that announcer as they can get.
Or just get Tim Kitzra. Whatever.
Sure. Why not?
Don't get Tim Kitzra.
All right. So I mean, any last minute predictions for Microsoft here before we move on? Like Jeff, Sean, Chris.
Here is my prediction, and hear me out.
Okay.
The entire presentation will be a pre-recorded video hosted by the Call of Duty dog.
I'm gonna give that a 0% chance.
I will as well. I'm not that bad at
I'm a speculator. No, I think I'll give it a 0.5%.
Okay.
You know, slight chance.
Going out on a limb. Okay.
But I wholeheartedly believe this.
Well, then you're
gonna... Here's mine. No, it's safe. I know that Microsoft is very cocky about things coming off winning this last generation, not counting the Wii.
North America, but yeah, good.
Yeah, I think that they may be cocky, but they're not completely stupid, and they know that people are not happy with their reveal as far as the game end is concerned. So I think they're going to do much better than people expect.
I mean, already said that this is going to be a game event. This is going to be...
Oh, yeah.
They're going to list games.
I think they're going to
like
have
that
more than just the... two or three big titles that everyone expects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anyone think they're going to address any of the confusion?
No.
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 I mean,
no answer either way on that is going to make people happy. And also, like, things like the price and the date and the specifics of anything are going to be later this year because there's no reason to say this now. Now is to get people talking about new games.
I think they're still experimenting, which is probably why they seemed so confused. They shouldn't have been confused. I'm not going to give them a pass on that. They should have had things a little more straightened up, or just not said anything. Yeah, exactly. Like, or been just very coy about it. Not, you know,
if you
not,
have fans,
if you have fans, you know, of any kind,
then
don't,
you know,
don't say anything.
Don't confuse them.
Yeah, or don't confuse them.
You confuse them, just don't confuse them.
They'll just get mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need more angry Kirby's than we already have.
But that said, I'm not bullish on Microsoft's prospects for the next generation, but I don't think I'm that worried in the way a lot of people are based on this backlash from this one event, because it's the internet. And that I mean everybody went like this about online passes, and then online passes were, you know, financially successful in lots of things in this generation. And, you know, there's a lot of that to which I don't think the internet mumblings really translate into actual business issues.
Usually not, no.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at Xbox 360 owners in general, like 10% of them go on the internet and talk about their game system.
Maybe, yeah.
Vast majority. are people who...
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that may be a lower number than you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not,
and
it's
that's
not...
why Microsoft feels pretty comfortable with this, because they can get away with and getting ready to use games. They can... And no, probably most of the people who buy an Xbox One won't be the wiser.
Yeah, and here's the biggest thing. As
until
much as we roll our eyes every year at this, you know, we have early Call of Duty DLC thing, that is the biggest thing that the company has to do. It doesn't even have to make it exclusive. Just make it preferable to stay on the system, and then everyone stays there, and everyone wants to play with their friends that are on there. And then, you know, you have the biggest game selling the most on your system.
I mean,
that's really how it goes.
Yeah, if they did that with Madden 2, they'd have a stranglehold on that.
Madden 2? Finally, a numbered sequel to that thing.
I know, right?
Assassin's Creed was bad. It's Madden. Finally, we get Madden 2. Big deal.
One thing to remember, both of them, both Sony and Microsoft, they've got gamer score and they've got trophies. And people are going to want to keep those numbers.
Yeah, because people are dumb.
That's a conversation. If they care that much about their sort of fake points, they're going to stick with whatever they have, because if they switch now, they're starting from the beginning.
It's not just about the fake points, though. It's about the ecosystem, and it's what everyone says. If you have friends on the Xbox playing Call of Duty or playing the games that you like, you're going to go to the Xbox One, because that's probably where they're going to go, because that's where your account's going to migrate to. So, I mean, it would be really interesting to see how many people Sony wins over this next generation, from jumping ship from 360 to PS4.
Yeah.
So I guess with that, we should just jump into Sony. And
sure.
Jeff, tell me what you think. Tell me what you think Sony has in store for us at 33. Jeff.
I think we will get to see the PS4 itself. I think they'll have a final image of the hardware.
I hope so. They've already made that high-res image and then just cropped it for that dumb teaser. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to make a prediction about what it's going to look like. A bold prediction, I might say. It's going to be a black box.
Okay.
It's going to be a black box, and on the top, it's going to say PlayStation 4. Or PS4. PS4. It could be PS4.
Oh, okay. If you,
it could be PS4.
Okay. PlayStation 4, then I think you might be wrong about that.
Yeah.
It'll be the Betamax to Microsoft VHS.
Hey, I want to say I actually really like the look of the Xbox One. I think that thing's nice, but that might just be me.
Yeah,
it's fine.
So do you? I mean, I guess Sean, in terms of games, like this, I guess besides, we're probably going to see everything we already saw again. From the reveal event, we're going to see the Infamouses and the kill zones and the what's that game called?
Drive Club.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's possible we may not see anything from Media Molecule yet if that idea hasn't materialized yet, but we'll see everything else.
I mean, they could go on stage and do that crazy puppet thing again. I mean,
well,
wouldn't mind.
I mean,
that's, you know,
if Media Molecule wants to announce what it is it's actually working on, I just don't think that's here yet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it would be cool to see them on stage again, because whatever, I don't know if I liked what they did, but it was something.
It was better than Wonder Boy, right?
Yeah, it was weird, but I still don't know what it was. I just, you know, bring that back.
Sean,
I'd much rather have weird and confusing than clear and aggravating. So that's one up for Sony right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sony to focus heavily on the fact that they've been courting indie games, and Jonathan Blow will probably be there.
Again, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they might show a little bit or say something about when it's going to be there.
They might. Yeah, they might talk about The Witness again, because I think that's kind of their key indie game.
Yeah.
I don't think
it feels like part of a
montage.
Like, montage. Yeah. Yep.
You know, like, it'd be a great idea for.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, it'd be a great idea for Sony if they really want to focus on indie games is get one of Microsoft's key developers, like maybe or something. One of their indie developers that they've been working with
come on stage
and announce a game for PlayStation.
Okay, well, have you been alive for the last 2 years?
Microsoft doesn't really have any more indie guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Microsoft's bought some people, like, you know, Twisted Pixel, and I think, Press Play just picked them up. But, you know, the ones that haven't run screaming from the 360 to the PC.
Or Steam.
Yeah. So Microsoft's going to bring in Phil Fish, and he's going to fight with Sony's angry indie developer. And it's going to be a huge controversy.
I'd rather see Fish fight Blow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Blow Fish.
No matter who wins, I win.
You got a controversial indie developer sort of way.
This is original. This is going to be Microsoft's original programming for the Xbox One, is that you have to buy an Xbox One to and then pay per view to watch Jonathan Blow fight Phil Fish.
All right.
I'd watch. Sad, but I think I couldn't miss it. Right.
Indie game the movie too.
Phil Fish would beat him.
Yeah. A new Final Fantasy of some kind.
Okay, you think it's time?
I think it'll be 15.
Well, I mean, they told us to please wait for E3.
They told us that they would say something at E3.
Yeah. I've been waiting.
It's either a new Final Fantasy or a new Chrono.
Guys, Final Fantasy 14.
No.
Because it'll be the only game that's ever been released and then appeared at E3.
Okay.
So they're just going to wheel Final Fantasy 14 out again.
Final Fantasy 14 2.
No.
Technically,
it is called 2.0.
Yeah, you could say Realm Reborn is 14 too.
No, this is a different game.
Oh, okay.
Just to be more confusing. Now, I guess that is a thing that it could be announced here. That does seem like in the realm of announcements that if anything was held until Tokyo Game Show, I feel like that would get held until Tokyo Game Show. But like, with the teaser, I feel like maybe there will be another teaser.
No, they're just going to show that.
No, they got to show something.
Well, what if it was like another trailer, but doesn't say what the trailer is?
Square Enix, they couldn't fly with that. They did a teaser for a teaser that was already shown previously. They can't get away with hiding anymore.
Okay, here's the worst they'll do. They'll do Final Fantasy VII in PS4 graphics and say it's a tech demo, and then say, see you at TGS.
I just want to know if the all the changes that have been going on within the company will affect anything at this point.
I think a lot of that kind of has to do with them trying to figure out what they want to do with their Western stuff, even though that stuff they've been doing a lot better than...
So in the new Final Fantasy, you'll want to protect your characters?
No, don't.
This is Square Enix we're talking about.
They'll talk about what their Western studios are doing, because those are the ones that make money.
Yeah, but I do think we'll see a Final Fantasy announcement. I don't know if it'll be Final Fantasy 15 or whatever the next main game is, but the guy said, please wait for E3. I don't think he would lie, right?
Well, I mean, you didn't say that something will be at E3. You just said, wait.
No, I'm waiting.
They're going to show the same video, but running on an Xbox One this time.
Yeah,
I mean, they could just do that. I mean, I feel like they showed that tech demo last E3, and then they showed it at Sony's unveil.
Yeah, reveal. I think we're going to see something. I just wouldn't be surprised if it's like Versus or something instead of like a 15.
Yeah. Well, hey, if they actually turned that into a game, I would take that too.
I would like to see whatever Versus 13 is now, assuming it's anything.
I think it might be 15.
All right. So speaking of games that have been like kind of long.
Last Guardian.
Yeah.
Speaking of
Last Guardian. Last Guardian. What? Yes? No?
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
Repeat the
question. Maybe
I don't know.
Can you repeat the question?
You're not bossing me now.
If we do see this game, will it be on PS3 or PS4? That is what I want.
PS4, I think.
Yeah, PS4. They've been dragging their feet for so long, we haven't seen anything.
I mean,
I think if it were close enough to release on PS3, it would have been announced before now. But
yeah.
I have a feeling that if it is going to be released, then they're going to use it as a hype machine for the PS4 for the hardcore audience.
It'll be this generation's Lair.
No,
this is Japan's Duke Nukem Forever.
I'd rather it was this generation's Warhawk, because at least that was okay.
No, Versus 13 is Japan's Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh, okay.
It's in development almost as long.
Versus 13 is the reason we didn't pick Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Prey 2. We'll probably see some Gran Turismo 6, which is a PS3 game. We'll probably see some, maybe a little Beyond Two Souls.
That is what I wonder, is how that's going to be handled at the event, showing both Gran Turismo 6 and Drive Club.
I'm, You know what? Gran Turismo 6 is probably going to look really nice.
I mean, it will. I just wonder how that's going to fit. Like, I wonder if, like, one of them is just straight up not going to be talked about this time for the purpose of, like, we'll have it at the show, but it's just we can't talk about both of them.
I think Gran Turismo 6 will get more of a focus because that's coming out, probably coming out sooner, and that, you know, that we haven't heard, like, basically anything about it except that it's been in development, and we're getting a demo in the summer. So I think that'll be if they're going to focus on one racing game more, that'll be it. And I think they're probably going to want to get the PS3 stuff out of the way first. So I wouldn't be surprised if it starts with montage and then PS3 stuff and then montage and then
montage. And
then several montages.
It's a montage of montages.
Montage of montages.
That's what E3 is basically.
Does anyone expect anything for the Vita?
Yes.
I was getting.
Yeah, they
that.
Have to.
Does anyone expect anything for the Vita that isn't involving using your Vita to play PS4 games?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Really?
There are some pretty hot rumors going on right now about like one or two big Vita announcements. I don't think we're going to see much, but there are too many rumblings about there's something coming for the Vita.
Unannounced games, you're saying?
Yeah.
If Sony doesn't announce anything,
they won't talk about
Vita
announced Vita games. There's not anything to talk about.
Oh, not even Tearaway? They're not going to even mention that?
Well, yeah, they'll talk about Tearaway.
Regulated to montage.
Oh, man, I really hope Tearaway. No, they don't have
that'd be a
Vita.
Short montage.
No, Sony's in the Vita for the long haul. They're not going to abandon it just like that. I mean, they stuck it out with the PSP. They're going to stick it out with the Vita.
No, under no circumstances are they going to abandon the Vita now. But this year, with launching the PS4 and wrapping up the PS3, there's just a lot to cover at the show. So I think the Vita will focus on two or three specific projects, and then we'll hear more next year.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on what they might be?
Again, this seems more like a TGS project, but maybe Gravity Rush 2. It seems like the studio was working on that. Simply because
if everything that was wrong with the original game, then I would be totally for that.
If this is a completely different game, that's fine.
I think Gravity Rush had a lot of potential. I think a sequel could definitely improve on a lot of the problems the first game had. I think that'd be cool. I mean, I think we could see. There's a couple of things coming out like Tearaway, and there's also that Killzone game, but I don't know if they want to talk about a Killzone game when they already have another Killzone game about on their new system. But Aaron Lucas, any last thoughts before we move on about Sony
on the Vita
on Sony in general at E3?
Axis apparently has a couple things that they're going to be announcing,
but will it be at the press conference?
Under
no circumstances.
0%.
My bad.
Zero escape percent.
I don't really have anything else.
Aaron, anything? Any last
thoughts? No, not me.
All right, so I mean, I guess that leaves us with Nintendo, and we probably know the most about Nintendo going into their Nintendo.
And it's weird because that's usually the opposite most years.
Yeah. But I mean, I think with the fact that they're not doing a traditional press conference, doing a Nintendo Direct, and the fact that they already told us
we're going to see a new Mario, a new Mario Kart, and new Smash. Well, that'll Smash. Take a lot of that hour.
Yep.
So
we might see Bayonetta 2. So do you guys think that this is going to be mostly Wii U focused, like almost entirely, or do you think?
I think so.
Well,
there's going to be a big Pokemon event too.
I think that they need to focus on the Wii U at this point. I mean, they need to convince. They'll be fighting for any sort of word of mouth and following the announcement of the PS4 and Xbox One. They need to let people know that the Wii U is still a thing. It's still relevant. They need to show some software, first-party software, ASAP, to get this thing off the ground.
How about Mario Kart?
Mario and Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's what you need.
Great.
How about Zelda?
I don't think
just get the first-party gamut of software out there, and Nintendo's set.
I'm going to say we're not going to see the new Zelda. We're going to see the 3DS Zelda, and we're going to see the Wind Waker HD remake, yeah, probably in motion. We're not going to see anything from the new Zelda. That's next E3.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a small teaser to the effect of, like, that time they brought the one Skyward Sword concept art shot to Miyamoto roundtable, and then that was the news the whole week. So
it'll just be a picture of the sword, the Master Sword.
Yep.
And it'll be like, yep, Wii U, coming soon.
It talks this time.
I think your son about 3D, the new 3D Mario.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah, we haven't seen a proper 3D Mario since Galaxy 2. And
well, I mean, 3D Land was a pretty proper 3D Mario.
Land was, 3D Land was still pretty much a 2D mentality in the design. So I'm looking for, like, proper collect-a-thon 3D Mario.
No.
You said collect-a-thon. No,
I will stand by collectathons until the end of time.
Well, stand over there.
Can you really count the Mario games as collectathons anymore?
Yeah, they're not collectathons.
Yeah, Mario games are what started the collectathon.
The stars for finishing levels.
Yeah, I mean, when I think collectathon, I think you have five different collectibles, most of which are optional. Mario games, like, there you have, like, one collectible that's mostly the stars, and a lot of them are optional, but you need most of them to get through that game. So I mean, is that really a collectathon?
Yeah, it's not.
Most of the stars are just
Donkey Kong 64. It's not.
And so it's like grandfathered in.
No, it's just not.
Speaking of Donkey Kong,
defend the collectathons.
Yes, Lucas.
Sorry. I've been really curious about why Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D is a thing. And also, apparently the Donkey Kong Country games were removed from the Virtual Console fairly recently.
Do you think those are connected?
So I'm wondering if maybe something Donkey Kong-ish is happening soon. Maybe like a collection, like the Kirby one, or maybe just Returns 2.
I honestly just think they're probably just going to re-release all those, like, and maybe sell them at a special price, like they did with the Kirby games and Wii U.
Well, that, or there probably was some deal. I don't know what rights Rare still has.
Yeah,
to maybe those.
A rights issue.
Yeah,
I have a feeling if it was a rights issue, it would have happened a long time ago.
Right, but maybe it was a like, here we're going to license them for this amount of time.
Yeah,
and so but
I mean, the portable version of Donkey Kong Country Returns just stuck out as kind of odd to me.
So you think that's kind of like leading up to a Returns 2 or something
maybe?
Similar?
Maybe. It's just, I'm curious.
Bring back the bongos. Let's get Donkey Kong Jungle Beat 2. I want that.
It's completely conceivable that this is a practice project.
The 3DS now.
Yeah. But it
bongos on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean for like another Donkey Kong game? Like
one? Monster Games, you know, before this, the project that it was working on was Pilotwings Resort. And then it worked on porting this to the 3DS. So that seems like the kind of thing you'd do if you were trying to set Monster Games up to, like, say, make Donkey Kong Country games for the 3DS.
Yeah.
Is the first thing is port this thing and get this working.
That would make sense since Retro is teasing pretty much something else.
Yeah, there's been some of those projects and series pass where we'll first work on this port and then you can make an actual thing. Like, say, for example, 343 did with Halo. Like, whenever a new team starts with something, it's good to get their feet wet and get them an actual product out the door. So maybe that's it. I don't know. But also, it just sold super well. Like, if you look at the Wii sales numbers for Donkey Kong Country Returns, it's like it's top five or something. So, that's just putting a good thing out on the 3DS.
Okay. I mean, I guess going back to Retro, I mean, I would like to think we will see what they've been working on here at this Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
Right?
It would make for a nice surprise.
I don't think it's a surprise at this point.
I mean, like, Nintendo has pretty much told us exactly what they're going to be doing at their Nintendo Direct. So, I don't know. I'd like something to be, like, a nice surprise for the Direct itself. Something that we wouldn't see coming.
Like, yeah, I would like a couple of surprises.
A couple of years ago when Nintendo did the press conference when they unveiled Donkey Kong Country Returns, they unveiled Golden Sun Dark Dawn, they
Other M, which was a great announcement, whatever you think about the game.
Yeah, that was a great announcement.
I remember sitting there. That was a big game event. A lot of people gloss over it because there wasn't a lot of stuff going on, but I believe... Was that the same year that was both of the Mario games, or was that...
I, I can't remember. Honestly, they all kind of blend together.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was that was 09. Yeah, because that was.
I think so.
Yeah, GoldenEye and.
Yeah.
It was leaked before the event, but they were showing off like NBA Jam and stuff. Yeah, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, what my point is, there was a whole lot of surprises that year, and that's what made their press conference so entertaining to watch. So I'd like to see some sort of surprise come down the pipeline.
Yeah, I think we'll see small things, but then of the big stuff, I think we're going to see Mario, Mario Kart, Smash, and whatever Retro is working on.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what you'll see.
The question is, are they working on a classic Nintendo franchise or any Nintendo franchise, or is this something new?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
It's really hard to say. I mean, I think, you know, I would love to see them do something new. I mean, you know, Metroid Prime games, great. No, I didn't love them, but they're great. Donkey Kong Country Returns, I kind of feel the same way, but I want to see them. I think they're a really talented studio, and I want to see them try something entirely different. But hey, if they bring back a franchise like, I don't know, just randomly off the top of my head, Star Fox or F-Zero, probably nothing that they're actually doing, but if they do that, I might be okay with that, because I would love to see a new F-Zero or a new Star Fox that's actually good. But I would love to see above all else something entirely new.
What if they revive Star Tropics?
I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other about Star Tropics.
Okay.
I mean that'd be a nice surprise. There are a lot of Star Tropics fans, I think.
I just think it would be an interesting, I mean, this is just off the top of my head, but I think it would be an interesting way, instead of, say, Retro doing the new Zelda, like, very specifically doing a different project that is okay to be Western style in a lot of ways, and okay, you know, so,
yeah.
I don't know.
Star Trek, I mean, if they need to base it on an IP, might as well bring just one of the old ones off.
Nestor's Funky Bowling, too? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah?
Yep. Now with bears.
There we go.
Yeah. Solved all the problems right there.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, all right. So Nintendo, mostly a lot of it we know about. Might be, hopefully there'll be a few surprises. I guess to wrap things up, any last just like general E3 predictions about third parties or anything that we may not have covered?
Well, Aisha Tyler's back with Ubisoft, so we can safely write that one off as having nothing of consequence.
See, I did that last year, and then Watch Dogs happened.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we might see something cool from Ubisoft. I think,
hey,
I think
this
she
the
did
year?
It. I think she was.
Andrew,
think
is this the year?
This the year of what?
You know what I'm talking about. Is this the year?
I don't know. I don't.
Are we talking about Rayman now?
Nope.
Yeah, I really don't know. I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm blanking.
Oh, yeah, come on.
When you put me on the spot like this,
did we
forget.
Miss something?
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me. I'm sorry.
Well, we've been talking about a lot of long dormant projects finally getting released. So is this the year for Beyond Good and Evil 2?
Oh, right!
Probably not.
Also, EA, Mirror's Edge 2.
Yeah, see, that
sounds like that may be happening, actually.
Yeah, that might actually be happening.
I think they've been setting it up, and it's just been constantly leaking.
Of course, now everyone's going to
complain. It's up on their help site.
Everyone's going to complain because it might be an Xbox One exclusive.
That game was not a financial success. If you get a sequel, shut up.
Exactly. That's
also C, Bayonetta.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yes, sir?
I was going to say, I'd like to hear Capcom confirm Monster Hunter 4 for a North America release.
That
can only dream.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that's kind of happened, right? I mean, those games don't do great here, but they do okay. And I don't know how 3 sold on the 3DS or on the Wii U, but those games do okay, right?
I think it may be a little while for that.
Oh yeah. We probably won't see it till maybe next year.
Yeah. And maybe it won't get announced at E3, and maybe it'll get, say, some sort of late fall Nintendo Direct mention for release next spring or something like that. But
yeah.
Speaking of Capcom, I'd like to see if they're going to do anything with their fighting games, or if they're going to take some time off after Cross Tekken.
Like,
and
like a new Street Fighter.
I thought they said they were going to take a little breather there after
Darkstalkers.
I mean, they don't really want to oversaturate things, even in such a small genre, so I think that they're going to be, if they are going to be working on fighting games, they're going to take their time with the next one.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't be surprised if the company is doing something. Like, I mean, Lucas, you mentioned this earlier with the Street Fighter piece. That, I mean, what Capcom does, at least half the company really, makes fighting games. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's one project that the company wants to work on to kind of build up like a fighting modification to its engine. Something. Probably not Street Fighter, but like maybe it is something, some off something. I don't know what
Dark
they bring back.
Stalker.
No, probably not that.
No.
Darkstalker.
No, probably not that.
I mean, I know they're doing a new balance update for Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if they have anything cooking, really.
You know what they should make?
That'd be nice. Street Fighter 5?
Power Stone 3?
Oh, yes. Good. I'm going to give you a virtual high five right now.
Okay. Did anyone buy that?
I'd buy 14 copies of it.
Hi. Okay. I'll buy it. Or just re-release 1 and 2. Re-release 1 and 2 on like XBLA or PSN.
Power Stone's a bad thing. I just don't know if anyone would buy it.
So Graham will just start buying copies and sending them to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll start
we'll have one Power Stone 3 giveaway a month for the next 4 years.
we'll rename the site to Power Stone Snack Bar Power Stones. Power Stone Games. I don't know.
Bad with you need to work at naming
things. I
would
be surprisingly okay with that.
No, wait. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Power Stone now with bears. There we go. See? I'm a naming expert.
Okay. That's perfect. Actually, yeah, you fine.
I'm going to go away now.
All right. Yeah, okay. So we should probably call it. But yeah, so next week's going to be crazy. We got a lot of plans for some good content for the site. We have a lot of reviews coming this week before we head out to the show, and then we have whatever we can do to get you news. Sean and I will be on the show floor, so as always, you can send any questions or anything you want us to know. You can contact us on Twitter at Snackbar Games. You can send us an email. You can send the podcast crew an email at podcast@snackbar-games.com, or you can just reach our editors with any general questions at editors@snackbar-games.com. But, you know, hit us up. We will do everything we can to find out things if you want to know things. Yeah.
I think it's safe to say people do want to know things.
I don't know. That's not been my experience.
All right.
That's why we're at the internet.
Anyway, I am aboard the E3 train, so.
Yeah, send mail and questions, or he's going to just ask random developers if they're adding bears to their games.
I could do that. What
Please
which,
make that
which
a video
developer,
and upload it. I'd
which developer is the dumbest developer to ask if bears are in the game? Which one should I track down?
Who makes Cabela's hunting games?
There you go.
Are there bears in this?
Are there bears?
Pretty sure.
No, you should ask Peter Molyneux, because he would have the craziest answer.
Yeah, if you find him, track him down, ask him about bears.
Everything in your imagination is in this game. So isn't that?
You will be friends with the bear.
Yeah.
You can
the bear
you
could
will
die.
Be the bear.
You want the game.
Oh man. Alright, I'm calling it. But yeah, so we will have an episode from E3 next week, and then a normal episode the following week where we talk about all the crazy stuff that happened and how it's crazy and that it happened. Yep.
Actually, that was just the episode, so we got that out of the way.
Oh, okay, great. So
yeah.
Maybe we won't have one in 2 weeks. Whatever. No, all right. For Lucas, Jeff, Sean, Andrew, Chris, and Aaron, I'm Graham. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.